congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His grace and providence, God again gives us a new Sunday. And this gift of time with the Lord, but also time with one another, is the blessed result of Pentecost. That God is with us through the Spirit of Christ. He gives us strength through His Word. He renews us according to His covenant promises. Talking of promises, beloved, the promise of God is, indeed, He will be with us. He will be with His people. All His children, as we are here together, young and old, all His children may enjoy and live in God's holy presence. For that going to God, we don't have to go through a detour of going to priest and performing many ceremonies. You know, the Old Testament people, Israel, needed to do that. We don't anymore. We now directly are strengthened. We are renewed through God's fatherly care and provisions. Through God's forgiveness and new life. All those graces we just in a minute we sang about. God's forgiveness, new life. God's protection and preservation. Being directed on the way to the assembly of God as we are here together, but especially also to the assembly of God in life eternal. All that and much more. All that is our riches through and after Pentecost. Our life now may be an ongoing celebration of living in God's presence. This truth makes us joyful and thankful. This truth makes our life into a life of prayer, of praise, and proclamation, or if you like, witness. And so we again listen to the joyful gospel news. Pentecost is the feast of God's presence through the outpouring of the Spirit of Christ. That is the theme this morning. Pentecost is the feast of God's presence through the outpouring of Christ's Spirit. We have 3 points. We will see the time, the place, and the effect of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So first, the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, at Pentecost, Christ's Spirit was poured out on Christ's followers. That event of redemption happened with the accompanying manifestations of, we read, a strong, a mighty gale of wind, and also of fire. As it is the case with all God's great works unto our redemption. Beloved, there is a lot that we cannot explain. Many things in regard to all the events of our redemption, many things we just cannot fathom. We marvel, for example, when we hear about the birth of God's eternal Son from the Virgin Mary. Now the possibility of that birth is far beyond our comprehension. Furthermore, we adore God's unlimited love and heaping His wrath upon His own beloved Son. And again, all that Christ, our Lord, God's Son, suffered during His life and death on earth, sustaining the pain and doom of hell. All that is inexpressible to us. It goes also beyond our understanding. Our deep admiration greatly increases when we think of Christ's resurrection and ascension. Also those works of redemption we cannot comprehend. But also those events force our hearts on high. Those events, they all proclaim to us that our lives cannot just be explained from here, from earth. We have a heavenly life. Indeed, the how and the what we don't understand. How did our Lord rise from a securely sealed grave? What made the Lord Jesus lift up from the earth at his ascension? You see, we do not know all those heavenly details. What we do know, what we do believe, is that God's word is the truth. In all those events, we see God fulfilling his word and promises. He keeps his word. Our God is a righteous God. God keeps the way unto heaven open. He continues to work out our full and complete redemption. And he will be effective and gather all his chosen ones unto himself. Indeed, his glorious kingdom will come. The day of Christ will come. Death and all evil and misery will be put away. And yet then, we continue to ask, what's the proof of all those events of our salvation? Do you, also the children, the young people here, do you see God? Do you hear God's own voice? Do we speak here in tongues, as we read just a moment ago from Acts 2? Do we have, and do we see here other superhuman things? People do. People on whom God poured out his Spirit? Not really, is it? Don't look, beloved, for all those human proofs. Look for the truth in God's word. And that is very clearly revealed to us, that the truth is the Spirit of Pentecost makes us into willing and ready people to serve God, to be true Christians. Oh, beloved, as always, that again this morning is the exciting message of the gospel. God gives us faith. Therefore we are here. Therefore we worship God. Therefore we encourage one another. Therefore we are on the way to the perfect life on the day of Christ, to a glorious future. All that visibly happened on the day of Pentecost, as we read about it, those signs, those symbols, direct to the truth that we are accepted by God and that he will never, ever reject his people. And that's why I am saying all that leading up to the tokens, the signs, what we read in Acts 2, that heavy wind and that fire. That's why that wind blew and the fire appeared at the time the Holy Spirit was poured upon Christ's people. Don't look for or try to give a rational explanation of those signs. Or don't think as our charismatic friends think that now also that has to somehow be manifested in believers. We have to show those signs. And otherwise we are not true Christians. No, no, no. The wind and the fire of Pentecost were unique. Like the birth of Christ, the death, resurrection, and as of the ascension were unique events. And so the manifestation of the wind and fire show those symbols emphasize the fulfillment of God's promise. Take note. We read the first sentence, when Pentecost fully came. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. That is the meaning of Pentecost. First of all, it literally means 50 days. 50 days after the Passover feast, Israel celebrated their Thanksgiving, also called the Feast of Weeks. You can read about it in Leviticus 23. During that Old Testament feast, God was praised and thanked that He had not withdrawn His Spirit from the earth. That He has blessed His people with the harvest of a new crop. Please take that in mind for a minute. Pentecost is about harvest. The Old Testament Pentecost feast was the feast of God's presence through His blessings of the fruits of the earth. The first fruits of the harvest people then offered to the Lord. And those first fruits signified that the harvest would fully come. Those first fruits, they signified that they could live from the fullness of the harvest. And so the Old Testament Pentecost pointed to completeness and blessing. God, now in Acts 2, gave a new meaning to the Feast of Pentecost. Now, from Acts 2, the Feast of Pentecost proclaims the fulfillment and blessing of God's work in Christ. Now, that work of Christ would fully come. And to see this truth clearly, it is good to hear what the Lord Jesus said when He was still on earth. And then I refer you to John 12. In John 12, verse 24, we read that the Lord Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Take note. Pentecost speaks of harvest and fruits. Here in John 12, verse 24, I read it again. I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. This passage from John 12 clearly reveals that after Christ had died, the seed, then much fruit will come. He will bear much fruit. You know, at the time of our text, Christ had suffered, had died, was buried. He was sown, so to speak, into the earth, His burial. But He had come up again. He rose. And so Pentecost, beloved, shows the fruits of Christ's work. God reveals at Pentecost that He now is present through the work of His Son, our Lord Jesus. The harvest of God's work in Christ will be reaped. And that happens through the outpouring of Christ's Spirit. In regard to all this, I also refer to another key text. John 16, verse 13, speaks about the coming of Christ's Spirit. There in John 16, the Lord Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority. He will speak only what He hears and will tell you what is yet to come. And He will bring glory to Me, Jesus said. Glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. But at the time of our text, we speak about the time, at the time of our text, it was 50 days ago that the true Passover lamb was killed at Golgotha. That full atonement of sin was accomplished. And it was assured, that was guaranteed, it was even proclaimed, I should say, proclaimed by Christ's resurrection. God raised His Son from the grave as the first fruit of God's redemptive work through Him. Through Christ's work, God has given all His loving care to His people, inexpressibly, but wonderful in truth. Time and again we hear about, I speak to you the truth. That is the truth. God has given all His love and care to His people. They receive the great blessings of forgiveness, of freedom from all evils, including death and grave. And so, beloved, Easter showed the first fruit of this redemptive work through Christ's resurrection. And on this first fruit of Easter, the whole harvest will fully come. The whole harvest of the fulfillment of all God's truth, of all God's promises, it would follow. That's why Christ had to ascend into heaven, taking up His glorious seat at the right hand of His Father. And by that session, by that event, safeguarding His redeemed and our redeemed life. Indeed, congregation, when we link, as we now have done at the beginning of this sermon, when we link Pentecost to the other redemptive events, we see the important turn at the day of Pentecost. A blessed, a marvelous change. The time of shadows and ceremonies had come to an end. 7 full weeks were completed after Christ was presented as the first fruits of our blessed life. You know that in the Bible, the number of 7 is a symbolic number of fullness, the fullness of God. Well, precisely at the day of Pentecost, God revealed His presence through the outpouring of Christ's Spirit. The fullness of God, the fullness of His greatness, goodness and grace, it all was poured upon His people, His chosen ones, through His word and truth. Then God opens our eyes for this great wonder, that God timed His redemptive New Testament feast of Pentecost very well. For the fullness of His work was revealed not only to a few people, as it happened with the redemptive events at Easter and Ascension, but now, the event of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, it was revealed, it was shown to all the nations. You see, Pentecost speaks of the fulfillment all God's promises. Promises already given to Abraham that all people would be blessed. For congregation, Pentecost is fully a public event. It is told to the whole wide world. And this brings us to our second consideration, second point, the place of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How does the world become aware of the total change of man's perspective on life through Christ's work? At the time of our text, there were no digital cameras to film the event of Pentecost. No one had cell phones on them to instantly call and inform relatives and friends about that spectacular world-changing event of Pentecost. So how then did the people in the world come to know about God's presence through the Spirit of Christ? Well, let us have a look at what the people in Jerusalem were doing on Pentecost according to the Old Testament agenda, the calendar. At the time of our text, Jerusalem was overcrowded because of the Old Testament Feast of Pentecost. The center of all the Old Testament festivities was the temple. Early in the morning, there the priest had started the preparations for receiving the people with their loaves and their thank offerings for the harvest. Remember, Pentecost was a harvest feast. But on their church calendar, there was also, say, the catechism teaching on what God had done on Mount Horeb, giving the law. And so the rabbis had prepared themselves to address the people on the topic how God gave his law at Mount Sinai. That God did that with storm and fire. And how in his temple God was present among his people Israel, in the temple with all those sacrifices, ceremonies. So what's the picture? At the time of our text, almost all the people from all the world, all the Jews there in Jerusalem, were heading for the temple. Although, at Good Friday, God himself had put the temple out of use by tearing that curtain from top to bottom. Yet, the great, great majority acted as if nothing had happened at Golgotha. Only a small group of people did not join the rush towards the temple. The group of Christ followers, about 120 in number, they were gathered awaiting Christ's promise, the fulfillment, the word of Christ, that they would receive power from on high. They would receive the Comforter, the Spirit. And so this is a picture our text paints regarding the day of Pentecost, that only a small group waited for the blessed fulfillment of Christ's word, of the truth of God's word. But all the others went into the direction of the temple with their first fruits, with their loaves, expecting a blessing from the priests and the rabbis. But then, all of a sudden, people were stopped in their tracks. Well, what happened? The Lord God sovereignly changed the people's attention from the temple to heaven, and from heaven to the small group of Christ followers, the congregation of Christ. By supernatural signs, God once again made clear that he had stopped the Old Testament worship. In Acts 2 on Pentecost, he revealed that his presence was not in the temple anymore. It was in the Christian church. In this way, beloved, we must look at the signs of Pentecost as we this morning read in Acts 2. From heaven, God's voice Remember, Psalm 29 speaks about the wind and the storm as God's voice. So from heaven, God's voice sounded in Jerusalem by a mighty gale wind. All this did not happen in the temple to where everybody was rushing. No, it happened at a place where that small group of the disciples was focused on Christ's word. And look, there was a revelation of God's fire too. Now it was not on the top of the mountain Sinai. Now the fire was on the top, or rather, of course, on the heads of those 120 men and women gathered in that house awaiting the coming of the Spirit. And he came. He came from heaven, and he went to those who had their hope in the Son of God, Christ, the Savior of the world. And the signs that wind and storm representing God's presence, they clearly reveal that God indeed wasn't any longer in the temple. He was there. And beloved, Christ is always there where people are gathered upon his word, where they call upon God's name through Jesus Christ. You can imagine, it must have been a confusing situation on that day in Jerusalem. For again, picture this, all the people rushing in one direction, first to the temple. But all of a sudden, the spiritual traffic signs, so to speak, the traffic signs pointed to another direction. Totally different from what people expected. God's wind and fire, his divine signs of his presence, clearly showed the direction to where people would receive a life of salvation, a life of glory, a life with God in Christ through his Spirit. And so, Pentecost reveals God is not present. He's not there with the fullness of his Spirit in a place where people follow their own liturgy and rituals. God is present with the fullness of his Spirit there, as we confess in Belgic Confession Article 29. God is present there with his Spirit where all things are governed according to the pure word of God, rejecting all things contrary to it and regarding Jesus Christ, confessing him as the only head. And so, beloved, we have seen in which time God poured out the Holy Spirit. We also have seen where, the place he did it. In the third place, we want to see which effect this new presence of the Lord had. At Pentecost, Christ's followers were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, fulfillment of Christ's word and promise. In our text we read that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They know all of them. Yes, whom does he fill? In whom does the Spirit come to live? In whom does he live, dwell? Whom does he take into his service? Was the Spirit poured out only on a few important persons, on those who had to take the lead? You know, that had happened in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant administration of God's blessings and grace. Then only a special group was actively involved in the worship of the Lord. Then all the rituals in the temple were performed by priests and Levites. People were dependent on them. But what do we now see in Acts 2? We note that the Spirit was not only given to the 12 apostles. He came on and in all Christ followers. So please note, at Pentecost, no one was left to stand at the sideline. The Spirit wanted to encourage. The Spirit wanted to empower and did so to use them all for the ongoing work of Christ. That is the marvelous effect of Pentecost congregation. All the members of Christ's congregation, all of them, are filled by and with the Spirit so they can direct the attention to Christ as the source of life. The Spirit takes everything out of Christ, we already heard. And now those who are indwelled, those upon the Spirit is also, they give all the attention to Christ, the source of life. Through our exalted Savior, faith, hope, and love are established. Joy, happiness, and peace are received. The fullness of God's blessings come through the witness and testimony of God's people. You see, at Pentecost, God involves all of His chosen ones, His people, to bring His fullness to the world, to the nations. The completion of full redemption will be reaped and on the day of Christ, the day of glory. For Christ is Lord and King. We know that and we confess it every Sunday. He will come to judge the living and the dead. He will give eternal glory. The end of trouble and pain is near. The Spirit comes to live in all Christ's people to witness to this truth, so that we exhort one another, not in the least on Sundays, for the day approaching. And that's what we see happening with the people of our text. And take note now. The emphasis is not on the signs that accompany the coming of the Spirit. They were there to propel the gospel, but the moment that gospel was in orbit, those signs, they were dropped. We don't hear about it anymore. The emphasis is not on those signs. The emphasis on what the Spirit's coming did in the lives of His disciples. The pouring out of the Spirit had a great effect in their lives. It completely changed them from very fearful people into courageous witnesses and preachers. Changed them from silent into speaking people. As we have seen, congregation, beloved, since the day of Pentecost, God is now present there where people are gathered around the gospel and believe of the truth of Christ. God is present here in His church through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us have our eyes and ears open for that great miracle of our redemption. For Pentecost makes us share, as we confess in Lord's Day 12, and the anointing of Christ, the anointing with His Spirit. He gives us the task to carry His gospel into this dark world. He equips us for this task by His Spirit and Word. And so Pentecost makes a very important application clear to us. I would like to emphasize this, beloved. The application of Pentecost also for today. The anointing of Christ with His Spirit. It makes something very important, very clear to us. Beloved, we don't exist for ourselves. Providence United Reformed Church here in Winnipeg does not exist for itself. The Christian church shouldn't just be busy with herself, to care for herself, to maintain herself. Very important things, necessary. But our task is not finished by going to church and by accepting the gospel and the word of Christ? No. His word with the fullness of his blessings must be shared with the people around us. In fact, this morning in the consistory, the prayer before the service there was part of the prayer there and then. The church exists for the Lord, to worship and praise him too. But the church and this congregation also exist for the world around us of this time and of this place, the city. And now I remind you of something what the Lord has said in Luke 18. There in Luke 18, the Lord poses an intriguing, even an unsettling question. He says, when the Son of Man comes, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And that is, yes, will, when the Lord Jesus comes, will he find people sitting in church? Yes, true. He will. We can see it today. Yet there's more to that. It also means, will Christ find people acting out their faith in this world? So what is our answer? Today, listen to his gospel. Here in the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Spirit dwells and dwells in us, we say, yes, Lord, here we are. Your Spirit makes us ready and willing to confess Christ, to speak of Christ, to live and die for him. That is celebrating Pentecost, congregation. To believe that Christ anointed us with his Spirit to be carriers of his word. But you know, carriers also deliver. For we live with Christ. We are assured of God's presence and his coming. And that is what we deliver to the world. The Spirit empowers us in view of the ultimate crisis of all times. That oil spill, that crash of the plane, and we can go on very much in the mind of all the peoples. A lot of crises, but they are not the crisis, beloved. That is the day of the Lord, the day on which all the chaff will be separated from the wheat. Now that mighty wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit, they are still powerfully in operation. And so Pentecost makes the preaching and church and our witness in the world very effective. Every believer filled by the Spirit lives to hasten God's glorious day, Peter says. For the gospel preaching of Christ and our confession of Christ contains the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. We might not be a dynamic speaker, but beloved, and also young people, if you speak the truth, and if you even stumbling speak about the gospel, yet through the Spirit, it's still the dynamite in this world. For the Spirit blows away all that hinders the ongoing work of Christ. And so on Christ and on our Christian proclamation and witness of our praise and prayer, as we also offer today, through all this, the bells are ringing. for the day of our exalted and glorious Lord to come, and he will find faith on the earth. But he poured out the Holy Spirit. So he will reap. He will reap in through us his full harvest, the assembly of all the elect for life eternal. Amen.